start your day to a rubbish, really helping.
Good morning. First, an apology as a switch of the days was I had a bris on Monday, so I couldn't be in two places at one time. So, Baruch Hashem, it was arranged and managed to swap days. This week's Sedra is Parshas B'chikoisai. For us Yidin, we're living in Chitz Luritz. In Eretz Yisrael, they already lined it last week. And also, we're only a few days left before Shavuos. We're already only approximately 10 days left till Shavuos. We've been counting Sefiras HaOmer. We've been counting day after day, counting upwards, day after day, preparing ourselves more and more to be zoicha to get to Kabbalas HaTorah. The first pusik in this week's Sedra, "Mechakoisai Telechi," it's "Mitzmoisai Tishmoiri." It's a famous Rashi. Rashi says, "Mechakoisai Telechi" doesn't mean just are we going the Eibush's ways, but it's talking about Shtia Melim BaTorah. Somebody should work hard when he learns Torah. Like we say every day in the morning when we make a brucha of Birchas HaTorah, we don't say a brucha limit HaTorah, but we say Lasuk Divrei Torah, to work hard in it, to make it our business, something we put effort into, something we invest into, something which we throw our full koichas into. And as we said, Mechakoisai Telechi, Shtia Meilim HaTorah, if we're going to work hard in our Torah, with some Tzvoisai Tishmoiri, and you use that Amelis B'Torah afterwards, says Rashi, K'dei Lishmoir V'Lasos, in order to know how to keep the Torah properly, in order to know how to do what the roots in Hashem is, in order to give the Eibush the Nachas. And then we have Bruchas of Bruchas of Bruchas, Sinati Geshmeichim Be'etam, V'Chili V'Chili, there are so many Bruchas which are written in this week's Sedra. There's Bruchas Menigla, there's Bruchas Benista, there's Shteif and Tzadikim as the Teuchecha. There's lots of hidden bruchas inside of the Teuchecha. Chazal were masakin that we should lie in Parshas B'chikoisai before Shavuos, and we should lie in Parshas Kisuvai before Rosh Hashanah. And the Chazal tell us because we want to finish off the year. When we finish off the year, we want to finish away. We should do away with all the klulas. Tichle Shuna v'kil lo yisrael, tuchel Shuna v'birchu yisrael. We want to get rid of the year, which all the difficult times we have in the year, all the clueless we have in the year. We want to start the new year with Allah Bruchas, with all the good things. And Chazal tell us that not only Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaAdin, the Gemara says that Rosh Hashanah we understand what's with Shavuos. But Shavuos is also a Yom HaAdin, Al Peiros HaIlon. It says in the Mishnah, it's Al Peiros HaIlon, a Yom HaAdin of Peiros HaIlon, how the fruit and the trees are going to grow. And that's what it's, and Rosh Hashanah of Tuchel, Tich Lashuna Vekil Loisel. That's why Chazal were masakin to line Parshas B'chikoisai always before Shavuos. But maybe another remez is also what we just said, that the first pusik in this week's Sedra is Atiya Meilim B'Torah. A person should work hard in Torah. He should recalibrate and realize and analyze and appreciate that the reason why he's here on this world is Lasik B'Divir Torah, Shatiya Meilim B'Torah. And that's always a Gita Achuna of Chag Matan Torah Seini, which is coming in Mitzvah in a few days. You always read this pusik in the Torah of Mechakoyse Telechi, Shtia Meilim HaTorah, just before we get to Shavuos, which is Amurdika Achuna. There's a machlokes in the Gemur of how long before Yom Tov does one have to prepare for Yom Tov. There's a machlokes if it's 2 weeks or if it's Shloshim Yoim. When we take on the Shloshim Yoim, a person has to prepare himself, learn Hilchis Chag. This is Chitz Natakun of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Masakin. Every Yom Tov, a person has to learn the Luchas of that Yom Tov as well. Sometimes one can get carried away by doing all the Hachuna before Yom Tov. You have to remember on Yom Tov to learn some Alucha of that Yom Tov on the Yom Tov itself. That's the Takun of Moshe Rabbeinu. But besides that, Chazal Masakin, a person has to do Hachuna, he has to prepare himself for a Yom Tov. But that's other Yomim Tovim. We see by Shavuos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Kruah Pusik in the Torah, Sfartam Lechem Mimochers HaShabbos. It's not enough. 2 weeks. It's not enough. 30 days. Here we need to have 49 days. It's 49 days, which is a constant climb. It's a staircase. And we're getting higher and higher. Famous question, why do we do Sefiras HaOmer? Why don't we do a countdown? Somebody's waiting for a big event. So you can get nowadays these countdown timers, which will count down to whatever you want. And we don't do that by Sefiras HaOmer. We count up. Because we're not just counting down, waiting for an event to take place. Wow, it only happened then. We're preparing ourselves. And we're making ourselves become kalim. We're making ourselves become fit for this wonderful, wonderful Chag Matan Torah, which is coming. Therefore, we're working on ourselves as Sefiras HaOmer. As we say in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam after Sefiras HaOmer, K'dei L'Tareini, M'Klipaseini, M'Tiposeini, And we how to bring our Kaddish into our lives. Every day that goes past, every day we get nearer, and we wait with anticipation. And the anticipation itself, which a person waits, creates an excitement and makes him more ruhi and makes him more ready for Kabbalah Satoira. We have to realize how. We all know it. I'm going to say everything we're going to say is mamish dvurim pshitim ad ma'od. When we say over, it becomes fresh and becomes rejuvenated before the time when we need it. The Torah Kedosha, Chazal tell us, was created, Ha'ibishter created the Torah Kedosha 1,000 generations before Matan Torah. 1,000 generations before Matan Torah. And Kabbalah Satoira was the 26th generation of this world. Moshe Rabbeinu was the 26th generation since Udam Arishon. Now from Udam to Noach is 10, and from Noach to Avrum was 10. You walk out from Avrum to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's another 6 doiras. It's 26 doiras. It comes out that Eibishter created the world. Tov kif ein dalet. 974 generations, not years, generations before he created this world. To realize this is the tashashia of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kevyuchel, if we're allowed to use such a language, but that's what Chazal used this language. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's toy, something which he enjoyed, something which kevyuchel Eibishter tashashia, in other words, it's what he played with. That's why he got nachas from looking into this Heilige Torah that he created. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world. A regular look on it is, we have a world, and because we have a world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Torah to tell us how to behave in this world. And Chazal tell us it's complete opposite. The Torah HaKadosh is the blueprint of the world. It's the architect plans of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is takil b'reisa, b'bura alma. He opened up, Kaviyuchel Aibish opened up the Torah. He looked inside and it said, as V'shomer b'nei Yisroel is a Shabbos, and we're going to keep Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, well, there'll be a Shabbos inside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked inside and said, L'kach t'lechem b'yom erishim priya tuda v'chapis t'murim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Lilav, and he created a Esrog, and he created a Dasim, he created a Ruvas. Everything which we have in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked inside the Torah, and then he created it because of this, what it says inside in the Torah. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And we look at it that way, we realize the whole world is just an amazing illusion, if that's the right way to say it. We get carried away, which is very normal, because that is normal with small people put into this world, and Eibishter gave us gashmistika eyes. And we look at this world and we see this amazing world, which is turning over in turmoil. Every day something else is happening, and there's nations around the world, and this one's arguing with that one, and this one's doing this, and this one's doing that. There's so much going on. It's impossible to keep up with the news. It's impossible. Because there's a news in every single little corner in the world, in every single town, in every single country, in every single village, in every single family. It's an amount of knowledge, and it's impossible for a person to be able to be on top of it. And we look amazed. Wow, what's happening? And it's really all just an illusion. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order that we should be able to keep the Torah, and that the Torah should be able to be kept. It's only there for one purpose and one purpose only. It's takel b'reisa, b'bora alma. And obviously anything which part of this world which isn't important for the Torah doesn't belong here and it wouldn't be here. It's only here for one reason, because it's takel b'reisa, b'bora alma. If we realize that we're the only people in the whole world, out of, I don't know how many people there are in the world nowadays, 8, 9 billion, 10 billion, whatever the numbers, and with such a mute, these few special diamonds which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has scattered through the world, who are the only ones who know and realize why is the world in existence. We're the only one who realize and appreciate that everything which is to do with the Torah HaKadosha is here in the world. And anything which has got nothing to do with Torah HaKadosha doesn't belong here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create it only for one purpose, in order that his Torah HaKadosha should be able to be kept. Kabbalah Satoira is the time when we became the Amma Nivcha. Before then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but it's only B'Zchis HaTorah, as we just said. There's no world without Z'Chis HaTorah. It's useless. It's not just a Z'Chis. It's a worthwhile investment. It's as if somebody created a house for something. He built a house for certain people to live in, but if they don't come to move to town, he has nothing to do with it. He may as well knock it down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that the Torah should be kept. And he lent on credit for a long time. For nearly 2,500 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on credit. There was nobody to keep the Torah. Avada, the whoever kept the Torah, they did it in advance before they were given the Torah. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave was the Torah to be kept for our nation should keep the Torah, to uphold the world. So famous Chazal tell us, Vayir Vavoyke Yoim Hashishi. Why doesn't it say Yoim Shishi like all the other days of Bris Olam? What's the Hashishi? We know when there's a hey at the beginning of a word, it means a famous one which we know about. The sixth day. Chazal tell us it means Vuv Sivan. The sixth day of Sivan, day of Kabbalah Torah, the day when the Yidden said that we're going to the Torah, that day that the Eibishter gave us the Torah after Yidden's proclaimed loud and clear Naaseh V'Nishma. And the Yidden went and said that we're going to keep the Torah. And when the Eibishter gave us the Torah, all of a sudden the whole world came into existence. Till then, it was Tuli V'Oimet. It was a shaky pack of cards. With the smallest touch, it would have gone flying. It was nothing. It could have all evaporated into thin air. And it came, Yoim Hashishi, came Vuv Sivan. And Klal Yisroel was Zoicha. We became the Amma Nivcha. We became the chosen nation. Yes, when they get shouted out in the street, you Jew, it's jealousy. Who wouldn't be jealous if somebody else would be chosen to be the one who wins the prize? And not just some silly noble prize. But we won the prize, which is the Kiyum HaOlam. We were the minute Kavis Echad, Pin Shivim Ze'evim. We were Zoicha to get this present. We were Zoicha to become the Amma Nivcha. We were Zoicha to be the ones to uphold the world, to keep the world straight and alive. Every guy that walks past us on the street should be bowing down to us with Akuras Atov. He only exists because we said Naaseh V'Nishma. He's only here in the world because we said we're going to keep the Torah, we're going to uphold it. Otherwise the whole world would have evaporated into oblivion. Would have been nothing left of it. There was no reason to have anything left. That's what we were Zoicha to. Chazal tell us Kabbalah HaTorah was a chasana. Yidden got married to the Torah. It was a chasana. Even some in Hugim, I think by the Sfadim, have a minig they read out some type of a ksiba they have, Sishan Klal Yisroel with the Torah. But Yoim Chasinuso is a matan Torah Chazal Darshan. So today we got married to the Torah Kedosha. So today we became one. We became intertwined. As Chazal tell us, Yisroel v'yreisa v'kitshabrichi chati. Yidden, Torah, and the Eibishter is one. It's not that we're separate things and we help each other out. It's v'hoi levusa echot, as it says by a person when gets married, it's v'hoi levusa echot, we became one. We became one, we are one, and we'll stay for always one. That's what we say always in Rosh Hashanah, Malocha kol ha'olam kiloi b'chvidecho, v'yoyma, everyone should say, Hashem elekei Yisroel melech. Eibishter, who is the God of the Yidden, is king. It's not enough they say Hashem Melech. We became intertwined with the Kodesh Baruch Hu when we mukabel the Torah. We became one Mahis. And it says Hashem Elekei Yisroel. They have to appreciate and have to acknowledge not just that the Eibishter is Boirei, Umanigas HaOlam, Hoye Hoye V'yeh. They've got to acknowledge He's Melech Yisroel. They've got to acknowledge He's the King of the Yidden, and we were the Amma Nivcha, and we were the one who were chosen, and we were the one who were clever enough to choose. Eibishter gave the schis and he gave the opportunity to all the other nations. As we know, he went out to every nation. Everyone found some silly excuse. No, it's hard for me not to kill people. It's hard for me not to steal. Think it's not hard for us to keep the Torah? I've heard it's hard for us to keep the Torah sometimes. Who doesn't have nisyonos? One by getting out of bed in the morning, and one keeping Elich in business, and one not saying a wrong word to a friend, and one by not stealing taka. And whatever it is, we have opportunities every single second to lose. And we say, no, we're going to win. We're going to try and win. And even if we lose some, but we're going to keep at it and we're going to win the others. Because we're a nation that had the seichel, the Eibishter benched us then with seichel, to say Naaseh V'Nishma, and we'll be the chosen one, we'll be the lucky one. It comes with restrictions, because it comes with privileges. The higher a person is, and the more chushuv a person is, so the more things you have to be careful about. The certain way a king has to behave, it's very restrictive. He can't go wherever he wants. Wherever he goes, he has entourage. He can't just make himself walk around down the marketplace without everybody making him crazy. He loses his privacy. Tell a king he should give up his king lifestyle because of it. He understands it's not a restriction, it's a privilege. It's because of where I am and who I am is why I have to behave in a certain way. We can't eat whatever we want. Of course we can't eat whatever we want. If somebody has a very special machinery, they have to put in a certain liquid into it to keep it going. Imagine trying to pour in regular oil or water into your car, and let's say, why doesn't it drive? Oh, it's restrictive. I bought myself a fancy car. It only works with high premium petrol. It doesn't work with regular petrol. It ruined the engine. I think I should scrap it and buy one of the junks. We all understand that we shell out a lot of money to buy the better stuff, even though it's going to need more maintenance. It's going to have more doing. It's not restrictive. It's a privilege that we're zoicha to be able to be the uphold the world. We're zoicha to be the chusn and the kala. Maybe a derech melitza can say, everyone knows a shuna rishoina, a couple get married, they don't know each other very well. Obviously they think they know each other very well, but whoever's been around for more than a few years since the chasna, you look back at the beginning, you realize how strange you were one to the other. Had nothing to do with each other. You didn't know anything. But how does the keisha get built? Where does the relationship come from? It comes from spending time with each other, talking with each other, feeling along with each other, living each other's lives, trying to put each other into the other person's shoes, trying to experience and look at the world from their viewpoint. And when a person does that on a constant basis, especially at the beginning of a relationship, and slowly but surely the relationship grows, and the relationship gathers, it gathers and it becomes better and better. But if you've got two people who just live under one roof, they never argue. Whatever she needs doing, he goes and does. Whatever he needs doing, she goes and does. They never argue, there's never a loud voice. But a relationship they'll never build unless they spend time together. There's enough people who can sit together in an office for years. They never fight. They're nice people. They're polite. But they have nothing to do with each other. They're called acquaintances at the most. You can even have people sitting in the Beis Medrash together for many years together. Even one koidel together. If it's not create, if you don't create an atmosphere of a relationship, of a family, you'll stay getting along with each other, but never becoming b'hoyi l'busa eichot. We know when a poor folk get married, mezuk nush from the Chazon Ish, shtait in Mishnah, tar besicha me'isha, somebody shouldn't speak too much from isha, Chazal tell us, afila be'ishtei omri, doesn't go on shun rishoyna. And shun rishoyna is not the time not to speak a lot. Because if you don't speak a lot, you'll live forever in a year of, you'll live forever a life of not knowing each other. Talk, we talk, and we talk, and we talk more, and we talk more. And slowly we become, v'hoi l'busa eichot, we become one. Imagine the Torah HaKadosha. If we got married to the Heilige Torah, and Chazal tells us, b'yom chasinusai, we don't just get married once. We know b'yom chasinusai, as it says in all the Sfurim, we say, shechiyuni v'kimuni v'hegiyuni lazman hazeh, every time it's the same time, every year we get remarried to the Torah, it comes out we're always in Shuna Rishoyna. Every Shavuos we get married, and we're always in the middle of Shuna Rishoyna. The Welt macht a joke, somebody asked him, somebody met somebody who was many years after his chasen, he said, I'm still in the middle of Shuna Rishoyna. He said, what? You got married about 15 years ago. He said, yeah, every time I make a mistake, I have to start again. So, it's a selbe bechina. Every year, every Shavuos, we're zoichet get married to the Torah again. What does it mean by spending time with the Torah? Avada, if a Yid gets up in the morning, and he does every single thing, apiyak Torah kedosha. He does every mitzvah that he has to do. He ticks every single box. He's careful of every single avayri he shouldn't do. He's not over a single thing. He's a tzaddik shein kamoi. But he has to spend time with the Torah. He has to sit down with the Torah and talk. He has to spend quality time with each other. Shmiz together. Find out how they're doing. Find out how your kala is doing. Find out how your kala, the Torah Kedosh, is doing. Talk to her. Imagine you'd have a wife who'd prepare the most nice meals. We just had in Daf Yomi, as the Gemara brings down, as what's called the Isharu. What's called a bad wife? A bad wife is somebody who prepares her husband a beautiful meal, and when he sits down to the meal, she turns her back on him, and she doesn't talk to him. Not that she doesn't prepare anything. She prepares food, and she prepares lunch, and she turns her back on her, and she doesn't talk to him. The ignoring. If we keep the whole Torah Kedosha, and we don't sit down, we don't have time to learn the Heilige Torah, we're losing out. We're not building up our relationship. If he first wants to invest in his marriage, every now and again, he'll pick up a little treat, and he'll bring her home. The Gemara tells Rav Chia, whenever he found something nice, which was befitting for his wife, he used to wrap it up and used to bring her home. And the Gemara tells us she wasn't the great wife. She was the opposite. It was so much so that Rav asked Rav Chia, Rebbe, why are you bringing your wife presents? Told us, Dai Luni, it's enough, Shmatzilunis, Menachetim, Megadlis, Beneini. It's enough that they're saving us from doing Averis and they're Megadl our children. We have to do the same thing. Maybe, as a suggestion, I'm just thinking, as the only thought this morning, my anger fell, to bring the Eibush, you have to bring our Kala, our the Torah presence. Everyone has their Kvias Itim. Everyone has the times they learn. And everyone has the things that they learn. But maybe sometimes just bring a little treat. We have a spare 5 minutes, which we never thought of using for learning. We have a little thing which you do, which you never do. We're sitting in the office, we're on the way. It's time we want to do something else. No, see, you know what? I want to bring her a present. I'll learn this extra 5 minutes, out of the blue, out of my Seder, nothing to do with what I do regularly. I'm buying or picking up a little present in the store and bring it to my wife. The way it builds up the relationship with the Torah HaKadosha. And the Torah HaKadosha doesn't stay quiet. If we build up the relationship with Torah HaKadosha, it's avada goes faket. The Chai Udom, when he brings on Birchas HaTorah, he says, a person has to make the Brucha B'Simcha G'dayla. If you read the Lushan, he's got a Mordika, I think it's his Lushan. V'yitin Ha'iduya, as al game L'Ashkoyach, L'Hashem Yisburach, al Shebuch Abuni, V'nusan Luni Klei Chemdusoy, that he chose us, and he gave us his precious Kalim, his precious Torah. And a person is Misboinen, and he sees, why Baha Sinai we were Zoycha to get, this Shashia, this Toy Kviyuchel, the most precious treasure which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, is, and everything in this world happens only Lefi and Hukis Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in us. That's the line I want to bring out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in us. V'sumach oleini lishmer kedebui. He relied on us. He entrusted us to God, His most precious possession. We should God His most precious possession. If somebody has something at home and he needs something to look after for him. So if it's he's going to the next room and he gives one of his kids to hold the siddur for him because he needs to go to the next room and he can't. So he can entrust a little child who won't give it to. He's scared he might drop it. But somebody who's a little bit older, 5, 6, can entrust them to hold the siddur for them for 5 minutes. But if it would be something more important, it would be a very expensive machine. He wouldn't entrust a small child to look after it, make sure it doesn't get ruined, even for a few minutes. And obviously the more expensive it is, and the more complicated it is, and the more he's worried that it gets ruined, the better he's going to guard it. We don't have to go to the extreme. Imagine somebody had a loaded gun at home. And that's where he kept. And he had it on him, but he had to walk through to some metal detector somewhere. So you know what? He gives it to someone. Look after me for a couple of hours. Because I have to go into a room. Who would he give it to? He'd think a lot of times who he'd give it to. He'd check the person out. Ask him somebody who can trust. Somebody who knows who he is. Somebody who knows he's not daft. And has the cycle to look after it. Because he knows that he's given them something which is of such importance. And who can imagine if we'd be talking about something which is much more than that? If somebody has the secrets for the atom bomb, that you trust? That you walk around with you chained to your chest, or you have a soldier walking around with you the whole time, because maybe somebody will find this. We have something which is much more than that. We don't have an atom bomb which can destroy a town. We don't have an atom bomb that can destroy a country. We are the one that are keeping the whole world around. If not for us, it would dissolve into oblivion. It doesn't need to explode. It would implode. There'd be nothing here. We go down to London and look at the crown jewels. I once saw those crown jewels. Till you get inside, you walk through doors which are so thick, solid steel. The security which goes on over there. For what? For a few nice diamonds. What we have, it's like comparing. You can't put them on the same scale. It doesn't come together. We've got the Kima Olam, these are a few jewels. And Kadosh Baruch Hu turned around and told, yes, my dear Kindlech, out of the whole world, I've chosen you, and I trust you. And I trust you completely. And I'm giving you away my Heilige Torah HaKadosha, my treasure. And I'm giving it to you, trusting you. Not only will you keep it properly, but you'll make sure that it always gets used. And make sure it always gets learned. And make sure that you'll always keep it. And you know what? We've done quite a good job if we're allowed to save ourselves. We've gone through thousands of years since then. And it's not as if the rest of the world stood around and said, you know what? Those crown jewels in there, they're very nice. You can keep them. They haven't said that to us. They've tried at every single turn. You've got the Torah? No way. Why should you get the Torah? You're right, we didn't say we wanted it, but you should get it. Everybody's happy not to get something, but if somebody else got it, I want it back. I don't want it back, I just don't want you to have it. They came to us and said, either bow down, Tavoy the Zura, either give it up, or we'll kill you. And we said, go shoot. And it wasn't just in the air, they did shoot. Again, and again, and again. How many pogroms Yidden went through? How many tsuras we went through? The Inquisition we went through? The world wars we went through? How many tsuras we went through? For one reason. Because we are the Amma Nivcha. One reason, because we told the Eibishter, we want your Torah. The Eibishter said, I trust you with it. We never broke his trust. We've been through so much. And we don't leave go. And we tell him, no, 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 we are not going to leave go of this thing. It's causing us tsuras. For what we see sometimes, we don't understand, and it's causing us tremendous tsuras. But we know and we believe that this is the ultimate good. And the tsuras are all nothing compared to what the reality is. We see more the bad side of things if we look at Oli Olam Hazeh. But we know, and we know in all our hearts, and that's why every single Yid is ready to give up his life. Before he'll give up the Torah, it's because we feel it, we know it, we've got with our mother's milk, that we are the Amma Nivcha, and we're not going to give it up. It's not always so easy. Sometimes we don't feel how sweet it is. Sometimes we sit down and learn, and it doesn't go. It's very hard. We all know how hard it is sometimes to open up a Gemara and learn. But Chazal tell us, Kol Aschulis Kushus, Mekam Ve'Eilach, Yo'urev Lochem, all the things at the beginning are hard. But from one, after we get past the first step, it becomes easier. Maybe if somebody does always a mistake, like we said before, he always has to restart his Shunah Rishona. He's always at the Haschulas. Sometimes it can stay hard. We start sitting down with a Chavrisa, we start sitting down by ourselves, we want to learn now, we have our Kriya Sittim. If it's an hour, if it's half an hour, if it's 2 hours, or 3 hours, whatever it is, we start and we learn properly, but then the phone rings, and we pick it up, or we have some other disturbance, or we're all mentioned, but we talk and we end up starting to shmiz. Very often we start again, kol aschulas kushus. We start again at the beginning. And every time we restart, it becomes hard. But if we manage to be persistent, we get past the aschulas kushus, mekan yi'urev lochem. Just to finish off with how zis the Torah is, we believe the Torah is so zis. And we daven for every morning, v'harev no Hashem elikeini, tamoridik tefillah. We bait na'ivishta, we know the Torah is zis, let us taste the sweetness. The Rechaim HaKudosh is a famous Lushan the Rechaim HaKudosh. It's in Parshas Kisuvoi. Shemahoyi b'nei Udom margishim imsikas v'arevus toiv ha-toira. If people would be able to taste, if people would taste how sweet and how gishmak the Torah is, hoyi mishtagim imislatim achareo. They would go berserk. And they would go run after it. The whole riches of the world would be worth in their eyes as nothing compared to the sweetness of the Torah. If we know the Torah is so sweet, it's talking to us. Torah is sweet. If somebody eats a jar of a cup, spoon of honey, and he doesn't feel it sweet, doesn't think the honey is not good. He knows it's a good honey. He realizes there must be something wrong with this koyuch of tasting. Maybe he has corona. Maybe he forgot how to taste. A person would realize if he doesn't taste sweetness, something is wrong. There's a reason why he doesn't taste the sweetness. And he has to damn HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, I should taste the sweetness. Because the sweetness is there. And we jumped into the deep end and we said, Nasa v'nishma. We jumped in the deep end and we said, we're going to keep your Torah, come what may. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help. We should be zoichet av HaKabulas HaTorah. Shibazoicha to learn your Heilige Torah and to keep your Heilige Mitzvahs. Shibazoicha to everybody, all of us, from old, from young, wherever they're up to in their Ruchniyah, should be able to taste the sweetness of the Torah. And I wish the Elfen was all Zoicha Zam with the sweetness of the Torah, so can I gain King Mashiach Zatkaini, Mimherev Yomaini.